We tell students mistakes help you grow, and we tell them don't give up. But here's the real question. Do we actually believe that ourselves as teachers? Because when it's our turn to learn something new, how do teachers act? Today on the Traveling Principal Show, we're going to be talking about the growth mindset contradiction. Stay tuned. Growth mindset means embracing challenges, learning from failure, and pushing through. We teach this. We give a test, students struggle, and then we reteach, we retest, and we remotivate. Simple as that. This is called learning. But here's the contradiction. When teachers are introduced to new initiatives, the response is often, "This won't work. We've done this before. We don't have time for this." You name it. That's fixed mindset energy. We expect students to try, fail, and try again. But when we face something hard or something new, we resist. Let's be honest. If we don't model a growth mindset, how can we expect students to believe in it? We're literally paid to grow minds, but we reject that ourselves. Education is change. New standards, new leaders, new technology, new everything. It's never stopping.
These are insane.
It's always changing. For as long as I've been in it, it's changed. Next time something new hits your plate and your gut says, try this instead. What if I tackled this with curiosity instead of frustration? It's how we move forward with resilience and not resistance. With collaboration and not complaints. That's the growth mindset. And we teach that this is needed in order for students to learn anything, right? They're going to fail. We want them to try. Isn't that what this is all about? What's interesting to me is that we try to be authentic. We try to show up for our students. But when we're asked to try something new, whatever that may be, and sometimes new or change is healthy. So we get out of this rhythm or stuck in this old path. And I do understand why change something that isn't broke. I agree with you. Any good administrator should try their best to agree when that's the case. But any good teacher is going to have to compromise somewhere. Change isn't just something that's usually your principal trying to come up with the night before. Or your administrators dreamt up and thought this would be a good idea. Change usually stems from something larger, from an initiative perhaps, from a federal grant, from a state grant, from data that's being looked at by teams of people who are experts in that area, and it's their job to try to figure out what to do with that data to create change, to try something new. Oftentimes as teachers, we're stuck in our classroom, and that's all we know. I'm not saying that you're operating in a silo. What I'm saying is that our day-to-day main concern revolves around the four walls of your room. I don't blame you. That's being a good teacher, believe it or not. However, I will say, in addition to what you have going on, you're a part of a staff. That staff make up that school culture. Those students in that school are your product year after year. It's never going to stay the same. Kids may come in and remind you of old kids, right? Kids that you've had in the past. But there's always going to be something that they're going to do that makes them different and go a different path from the kid that they reminded you of. Teachers that have been around for a while know that. That to you should be proof. Nothing is the same. And it's important that we use that to drive our everyday. If you're doing the same thing, expecting the same results out of kids and you're not getting them, we don't have to go there. But if you are really, truly about a growth mindset, and you're a teacher who is resistant to whatever school policies or whatever newness is about, and that's being pushed down from administration, from the district to administration, let's be fair, to then you guys. And you might think, wow, I'm the one that's got boots on the ground and I have to implement this day to day. And I get you. Nobody's saying you're wrong. But what we are saying is that perhaps what they're offering you is something that can accommodate a contemporary issue or problem that old methods may not have considered as important to focus on if you're really about the growth mindset, but you are one of those teachers who's very resistant to change. How much about that growth mindset are you? And if you use that perspective to drive yourself to try to become a part of whatever is going on at your school site, watch how much things change for you. Going back after this break, going back after the long haul of the beginning part of the spring, we don't have a lot of the school year left. And so if you implement a real growth mindset and think, you know what, I'm going to finish strong for the rest of this school year, and I am going to give the kids that have showed maybe they haven't worked that hard and they're already out, you know, and there's no coming back for them, I am going to try to push them one more time. I am going to try to reach a 100% success rate inside my classroom because that's why I'm there. As a new teacher, I'll leave you with this. Or even if you're a veteran teacher, either way, it really doesn't matter. What's more important is that you understand. At one point in time when I was a teacher, the entire department was asked, who would like to be a part of this new initiative? It was a small learning community initiative. And all of the teachers in the department, there was almost 40 of us, no one raised their hand. I didn't raise my hand because I was the newest in the room and I didn't want to like kind of, you know, shake anything up. But because I was the newest in the room, the assistant principal voted me as the person who was going to be a part of it. So they gave a brand new teacher with no experience to this new initiative. Lo and behold, I found out that nobody else wanted to do it because they had said that this wasn't going to last. This wasn't something that was going to be around for that long. So why learn something new? Why go through training and be a part of whatever this was going to be? The reason why is because this program worked so well that it became the model for large schools to break down into small ones and was adapted by New York City to go around and help school reform. This drove some of the largest reform in New York City public school history because these failing large comprehensive schools broke down into several small ones, and each one had a micromanaged system in place so you knew kids by face and by name rather than by a number in a large building. This made an astounding impact on academic successes, graduation rates, attendance rates, and of course, behavior and incidents inside school buildings. I didn't know at the time, and I had volunteered for something that, I actually didn't even volunteer, but I was picked for something that was like new. Little did we know, this was an amazing program. It turned me into the teacher I became today. Without that small learning community, I would never know how I would have gotten to where I am as a teacher. My successes would not have been as they were had I not had a team that I worked with. This collaborative initiative was something that was so brand new at a time when nothing like this was going on in New York City public schools. I became a part of something new. I wanted to see what that would do and where that would go, and look what happened. Stay tuned for the Traveling Principal Show. New episodes coming up. We are continuing on with the teacher burnout epidemic. The next episode revolves around why teachers are so burned out. And it's deeper than just workload. It's important that we realize that. So stay tuned for the next episode of the Traveling Principal Show. Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Show.
The Traveling Principal Show.
Principal. Okay, start all over.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Principal Show.
Perfect.